Welcome to the Amerigo Resources Q2 Results Conference Call for Friday, August 7, 2009. I would like to introduce Michael Kuta, Corporate Secretary. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our Chairman, Mr. Steven Dean.
Thank you, Michael. On this call, we have Michael Kuta, Aurora Davidson, who's our CFO, and myself. We're hoping that our President, Dr. Klaus Seitler, will join us from South America. He is expected to call in, but he may be having telephone problems, and hopefully he will join us during the course of the call. I'd like to open the call, however, by stating that Q2 2009 for Amerigo represented a return to positive operating cash flow due to a combination of positive price movements and reduction of costs. Before we get into the detail of the quarter's operating results and outcomes, just some commentary on management's view on the copper price and moly price. Firstly, with regard to copper, we continue to be positive about the outlook for copper for a number of reasons. Firstly, we think that most analysts are seriously underestimating, as they did in the original run-up in copper price a few years ago. Global analysts are underestimating some of the supply constraints that are in existence around the world, particularly in the case of some of the major copper producers, and some of the reductions in production from some of the biggest mines around the world are constraining that supply, and I think they are more constrained than most analysts are reporting, in our view. Secondly, in our view, the consumption side of the equation in the developing markets of China and India and other developing countries are underanalyzed and not well understood, in our view, and the conjecture that is consistently made in relation to the demand and consumption in those developing countries has consistently been underestimated and underreported, largely, in our view, due to an inexperience and a misunderstanding of what exactly is happening in those markets. Thirdly, from a medium to longer-term perspective, it's our experience that the new projects that are on the drawing board at the moment in pre-feasibility or feasibility stage, with very few exceptions, are showing the need for a copper price well into the $2 mark, and in order to finance them, perhaps more importantly, with bank credit and to draw investment for capital, both equity as well as debt, there's a requirement for substantially higher copper prices than we are seeing at present. That's, as I said, a medium to longer term impact driver, but nevertheless an important one in our view to the medium to long term outlook for the copper price and the copper sector. Just briefly on moly, I personally am perhaps even more bullish on the moly price outlook. Moly has not recovered to the same degree as some of the base metals, copper in particular, in price since its rapid fall in the last part of 2008. The analysis that we see in terms of the steel industry, where moly has the primary usage, we're seeing steel blast furnaces reopening and going to full capacity in various parts of the world, in Europe and in Asia, and we're seeing restocking of moly stockpiles in and around the steel mills and customers of moly users around the world, and therefore we're seeing some fairly strong price movements upwards only in the last week or two, which I believe will be sustained as steel steel usage continues to be strongly driven by economic expansion in the developing markets, as well as, for that matter, in the developed markets due to the economic stimulus that's being poured into some of those economies. Moly, of course, and I'll comment shortly on this again, moly will be a big driver for Amerigo's results. As a byproduct credit, it will drive significant reductions in costs and significant, therefore, increases in earnings. Because of our cost structure and because of where we've come from, these price movements in copper and moly mean that our shareholders and our earnings and cash flow represent significant leverage to those moves. Commentary on the quarter itself. Cash flow from operations was $7.4 million. That included some balance sheet inputs such as approximately $4 million coming in from the tax man in Chile that was taxes paid that were due to be refunded to us. There is another amount of approximately $3 million which we expect to receive in Q3 or Q4 this year. But $7.4 included that $4 million. Then, of course, there were some other working capital improvements alongside a underlying cash flow from operations generation of about $1.8 million. That, of course, as I said earlier in the call, signifies a return to positive operating cash flow for the company. This was partly due to price, but perhaps also substantially due to a large increase in copper production. Copper production in Q2 2008 increased by 36% over Q2 An increase in Q2 2009 of 36% over Q2 2008 is what I meant to say. And an increase of 35% over last quarter of Q1 of 2009. This is a historical high Q2 production for the company of 4,358 tons. Operating costs reduced by $5.2 million in comparison to the corresponding quarter in 2008. That was notwithstanding that 36% increase in production. Once again, primarily due to power costs that I'll talk to in a moment. During the quarter, we also entered into some hedging transactions, which put a floor under our price received of $2 for roughly half of our production through to the end of the year. That was structured with a zero cost put and call option structure, which gave upside to half of those that production above $2.47 a pound away, but kept it for the other half, and anything between $2 and $2.47 was also ours. These contracts expire in December of this year. We commenced debt repayments to some of our customers who were good enough to provide medium to long-term finance for some of the amounts that we owed them due to the rapid decline in moly and copper price. Enami and moly met we repaid to the tune of $1.3 and $660,000 respectively during the quarter as part of our scheduled agreement. We also, during the quarter, agreed with El Teniente, our partner, with from whom we have the right to contract both fresh and the old tailings. We deferred over a 14-month period royalties that were accumulated during the period when cash flow was tight. For me, one of the other major significant achievements during the quarter was the terming out, as we call it, or placing the debt, bank debt, that we incurred during the downturn, at least $6 million of it, into a two-year term loan commencing in October 2009. That's a $6 million of our $11 million of debt, and we are in advanced discussions to term out the balance of the five. That changes our balance sheet dramatically. As a result, and our operating cash flow now better matches our obligations, and you will see, based on current copper and moly prices, you'll see rapid reductions in those outstanding amounts, and you'll see rapid improvements in our working capital position here on. The driving factor, and if I can just check to see if Dr. Zeitler has joined us. Klaus, have you joined us? Have you joined us yet? Okay. In which case, I might take on Klaus's discussion on production in his absence, and maybe he'll join us for questions. Production during the quarter was approximately 9.6 million. Pounds of copper and just under 100,000 pounds of moly. That's significantly above the corresponding period in 2008. The principal driver behind the increases in both moly and copper production was the ramping up, as we've indicated in the last two quarters, of production from the old tailings. And that, in turn, is a function of significantly higher tonnage extracted from the old tailings. We're averaging at present approximately 20,000 tons a day extraction from the old tailings of material. So tonnage is a big factor. And the second factor behind this increase in copper and moly production is higher recoveries. As investors and listeners to this call would remember, one of the challenges in upping production from the old tailings has been the metallurgical properties of the material closer to the surface, and as a result of the change in our mining plan in the old tailings, we are now enjoying recoveries significantly higher than the 2008, and in fact higher than our budget forecast. The moly content of those old tailings is also much higher than the fresh tailings have been in the last 12 months, and that will see as that driving an increase in the moly production for this quarter as well as the quarters for the remainder of this year. For example, our moly production in July was approximately 55,000 pounds versus the whole quarter's production in Q2 2009 of 99,000, or just under 100,000 pounds of moly. We expect that trend in terms of increase of copper and moly to continue for the remainder of the year. Some comments on power costs. Power costs continue to fall. Power costs were approximately 12.4 cents a kilowatt hour in the Q2 2009, and that's substantially down from the almost 25 cents a kilowatt hour in Q2 2008. We expect the costs to at least be stable at around the 10 to 12 cents a kilowatt hour levels for the remainder of the year, and that depending upon oil price and other factors that drive that price. Our generators are available for operation. We are not using them at the moment because of present oil prices, which then convert to current fuel oil, bunker fuel prices, which is the fuel source for these generators. We would generate power at around the same cost as we're paying in the from the grid. We expect that to the grid cost to trend down over the longer term. We have a long-term contract with the provider of our energy, Endesa, which will have us generating costs down to around 8 cents a kilowatt hour on a fixed basis by the end of 2012, commencing 2013, and we expect that trend line to occur between now and that date. Of course, power costs are our single largest operating cost, and so therefore any 1, 2, 3, or 4 cent fall in those costs results in a substantial operating cost savings and cash cost reductions for the company. Just to summarize, NBC and Amerigo have paid over the period between 2005 and 2008 $33.5 million in dividends. We've generated $100 million in cash flow, which was committed to capital expenditures to expand the plant to a state now where we can operate the full amount of fresh tailings and the contracted amount of old tailings with relatively minor additional cash flows. We have substantial leverage to copper and moly prices. We are projecting to double our annualized copper production from 2008 through to over the next couple of years. Our costs are partially indexed to the copper price because, as most long-term supporters know, the royalty we pay to El Teniente for the rights to treat the material is, in fact, indexed to the copper price. We've got growth over the horizon in the form of additional old tailings that are at or near our plants that are owned by Teniente, and we continue to have discussions about those. Our stock price continues to lag some of our peers. I think that's largely because of the higher cash costs that we have endured over the last little while, and that in turn is due to a factor that's beyond our control, being the energy costs that I've alluded to earlier. But I think you'll find that with the current copper prices and the continuing performance on the production side and the return to strong operating cash flows, that the value embedded in Amerigo will be recognized by the market, and I anticipate that we will outperform our peers because of that over the next 6 to 12 months. We continue to look at strategic options for the company. We look at the potential for merger combinations, business combinations with other peers. One of the advantages, of course, would be to diversify our asset base away from the single asset. But we would only do so where it represents significant value and acknowledges the embedded value of our asset base in MVC. Unless Klaus has joined us in the meantime, Klaus, are you there?
Yes, I do not see that he has joined.
Okay, well, we'll continue without him. In which case, operator, we would be happy to throw the call open to questions.
Certainly. We'll now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And if at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. The first question is from David Liu from Nome. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stephen. Just a question on the I might have missed this, but the Mali recovery in the quarter was lower than in past. Was there a particular reason for that, or?
Yeah, I didn't mention the reason for that, and that is we're enjoying higher tonnage extraction rates from the old tailings, and as a result, the Mali production is higher because the grade of Mali in the old tailings is significantly higher than the fresh tailings. And then secondly, because we are now working below the oxidized material in the old tailings as a result of the change in our mine plan during Q1 of this year, our metallurgical recoveries of both copper and Mali are improved, and that therefore also contributes to higher Mali production.
Okay, but it looks like the recovery rate was lower, right, or on the Mali?
No, Mali recoveries were higher.
Okay. So I'm just looking at the press release. It says 69.53 versus, like, 80 in the last quarter. Or am I looking at this wrong?
That is a reflection. You're quite right. That is a reflection of lower grades in the fresh tailings, but our recoveries in the old tailings have improved.
Understood. Okay, and then just in terms of the fresh tailings, with the recovery in the Mali price, are you seeing more Mali in the fresh tailings coming out of El Teniente, or is that not happened yet?
No, we're still continuing to see relatively low grades in the Mali, and that's a reflection of where El Teniente is mining in its mine plan at the moment.
Okay. So if the Mali price stays up here or can use higher, do you think they'll shift back to or do they have the ability to shift to higher Mali areas of the mine, or is it just they're where they are and they're just going to go from there?
We don't know the answer to that. We're not privy to the details of that mine plan. My own personal view is that their capacity, like most other large mining companies, to do that now is constrained. You certainly saw some of that in the initial run-up of Mali price 2 or 3 years ago. But I think the capacity for most large miners to do that now is limited.
Okay, and just one more question, just on Mali here. Can I also add?
The tailings we are receiving from Teniente, the fresh tailings we're receiving from Teniente at the moment, are not just low. They're lower than average at the moment.
In terms of the quantity, or
no, the grade in the material is lower than budget and lower than the recent average by quite a margin. So that tells us something by itself.
Okay. And just one last question on Mali here. Just in terms of processing the old tailings, are you able to shift from low grade old tailings to higher low grade moly old tailings to higher grade moly old tailings, or it's not, you know, it just comes as wherever you are in the process?
It is the way it is. It's the way it's been laid down over about 20 or 30 years.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from G.R. Heffernan from Toronto. Please go ahead.
A number of my questions on molybdenum have been answered. There's one, though, I didn't quite catch, and that is the grade from the fresh tailings. I gather that's dropping. Is that because Codelco is extracting molybdenum at the site, or is that simply because the ore grade is down?
We understand it's simply because the ore grade is down.
Because the ore grade.
It's a function of where they're mining in their mine.
Yeah. The other question I have is the cost of 214 look quite high in relationship to some of the things I've read on some of the new mines that are proposed. And I wondered what your target cost is when you get everything working well.
Yeah. Well, if we break down the components of that $2.14, there's a cash cost component of $1.56.
Yes.
And then the royalty of 38 cents, and that's a sliding number which is dependent upon the copper price, as you know.
Yeah.
Amortization depreciation is a non-cash item, but it's also fixed as an allocation on a production unit basis. If you look at within the components of the cash costs, the two drivers for further reductions are power costs and byproduct credits.
Yeah.
Power costs, as you know, are not within our control. At 63 cents, at 12.47 cents a kilowatt hour reflects a 63 cents a pound power cost. The two things that will affect that is that it was only 2004, 2005 that we had power costs of around 6 cents a kilowatt hour. The crisis that we're experiencing is simply because approximately 30% of the power generation in Chile used to come from gas, which was supplied by Argentina. That was switched off totally. We understand that some of it is now being resupplied, but it's not a significant amount. So they have had to rebuild their power supply as energy source base. And they're well in advance in the process of doing that with a combination of LNG gas through an LNG terminal from offshore and new hydro facilities and other sources. We believe, like all cycles in business and in energy, that cycle will turn and you'll see power costs back in the 6 or 7 or 8 cents a kilowatt hour in the next over the next couple of years. And that's kind of pinned and supported by the fact that we have a contract with Endesa which takes us back to a variable cost component of around 6.2 cents by the end of 2012. So power costs will trend down, and the other factor driving that is as our production increases, as a unit component per pound, there will be a small reduction in that cost as well. Secondly, the byproduct credit is probably an even more significant and nearer term driver. In 2008, Q2 and Q3, we had 75 cents cash byproduct credit and 65 cents in Q2. That's at moly prices in the high $20 range. If we're continuing to see the trend that we're seeing, and I alluded to this earlier, if we're seeing moly prices in the range of $12 to $20, which I think is not unreasonable, we will see those byproduct credits have a much bigger role in cost reductions than you've seen in the last two quarters.
So between the power saving, which is pretty well assured, I guess, it looks to me like it has something like 20 cents a pound drop in power costs.
Over the next couple of years, yes.
Yeah. And with regarding to the moly prices, well, I guess that's anybody's guess, but you're probably right. The steel industry is going to recover. One thing I wondered about is the tailing, the old tailings pond where you're recovering. You had a lot of physical problems with that beginning and getting the extraction. You're now running at 20,000 tons per day. Do you expect to be able to increase that, or is that about your ultimate?
No, we have a target of 45,000 tons, and we have a contracted amount of 45,000 tons. So our program now is to move it out from the 20 to the 45,000 tons over the next year or two.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Raymond Goldie from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you very much for the very persuasive story on copper prices. And recording, you also mentioned the dividend that you paid out, $73.5 million in dividend up to last year. Made me wonder if, let's say we take the forward strip, which is flat copper prices forever. On that basis, when might you expect the board to declare the next dividend? And should we be looking at the old guidance you gave that the board would have a policy of paying out at least one-third of earnings, long-term normalized earnings, as dividends?
I think we'd like to revert to that policy once we're in a stronger working capital position, and when that happens, we'll be letting everyone know.
No guesses at this point as to when that might be?
No.
Thank you. The next question is from Art Mason from Nelson. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, Mr. Dean. You mentioned that you want to obtain two other tailing ponds down there, and I'm just wondering what grade those are if they compare to the tailings ponds you're working on now, and if you do get them, could you up production if you were able to obtain them?
Short answer to the last part of your question is yes. The big picture plan would be is if we were able to negotiate an agreement with Peñente on those tailings deposits, then we would have to look at either expanding substantially or replicating the existing plant that we have at MVC. The grade of those materials is at least equal to the tailings deposit we are currently treating, which is the Caliwes deposit. Having said that, however, the metallurgical properties are different, if not only for the fact that much of the upper levels are somewhat oxidized. So we may need a leach interim stage process for some of those tailings, we're presently doing some ongoing metallurgical work to determine the optimum treatment of those deposits.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from David Liu from Nome.
Yeah, hi. Just one more question on the dividend policy. I'm not sure. You know, is the policy based on? Do you plan to adjust it for the effects of provisional pricing? I mean, I know now you're really a dam anyways, but I mean, as it changes, you know, if it's M plus four, you know, look back, you know, wait 4 months.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think one of the things that we were caught out, and I know we weren't the only ones, pretty much everyone in the copper sector were
right.
Caught out by the dramatic change. And Klaus and I have been in this business for 20 or 30 years, and as I think we've said in the past, we've never seen such a dramatic fall in commodity prices, but copper prices particularly in such a short period of time. I think a more conservative approach to the dividend policy to reflect the risk of that occurring again might be prudent.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that would make the most sense in the state of the world as it is here. And, you know, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Trevor Goldie from Los Angeles. Please go ahead.
Hello. as the quality of the fresh tailings, diminishes, is it possible for, or have you tried to renegotiate the royalty that you pay?
We don't pay on the basis of quality. We pay on the basis of what we produce from what we receive. So it is an automatic driver of a change in what we pay by virtue of if we don't get good recoveries of copper and moly, then, and therefore we don't produce copper and moly based on the budget and forecast, then we don't pay for them.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Autridge from Vancouver.
Yeah, hello everybody. Just question about hedging, Stephen. You have a very bullish view of copper right now, so I'm sort of questioning, why did you hedge? Is it 50% of the output just for this year, and is that all the hedging? And I guess, was pressure put on you by lenders to do that hedging?
Stephen, the answer is there was no pressure. It was a management decision. And as much as I can have a personal view on where the copper price might be going, and as much as that might influence the structure of how we hedge, and you'll see that is reflected in the fact that we entered into, when the copper price was about 220, we entered into a zero cost option collar, which said we're guaranteed $2, but we'll take the upside to $2.47. So that tells you that we were positive on the price then. But having said that, when you have the sort of debt levels that we were forced to take on during the downturn, it's just prudent business management to protect your downside, because unless you have a crystal ball, it's you can't be guaranteed of a better or stronger copper price. And this structure allowed us the upside, or a substantial amount of the upside, but protected us on the downside.
Yeah, and it was just for the balance of 2009, right?
Correct. And you know, we may extend that. I know a number of our peers have looked at extending that, and some of them extended to June with similar sort of flaws and calls. But of course, if we were to do it today, it would be off a much higher base, and
right,
the call would be off a much higher level.
Okay, that's good. That was just my question. Thanks. A lot more people on the call this time than 3 months ago.
Very happy with the question.
Thank you. Once again, if you have a question, please press star one at this time. There are no further questions registered at this time, Mr. Kuda.
Yeah, no more questions.
We now have a question from David Liu from NOM. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just one on the switching between the grid and your own generating power. How smooth is that? Or how quickly are you able to make that switch between using power from the grid or generating your own?
We've had to invest in the last, and we've only just commissioned, or in the process of commissioning this equipment now. We've had to invest in some synchronizing equipment, which, because of the cycles of grid power versus generated power, then we can't just sort of flick it over without this synchronizing equipment, and we've invested in that synchronizing equipment, and we have the capacity to do that at very short intervals.
Stephen?
Klaus.
I just wanted to let you know I was able to join now. Sorry, I had problems with the phone.
Okay, well, you came just in time for the last question.
if I might just add what Stephen said, what it means by being synchronized with the system is that we will not switch between the grid and our plant. We will, in a time where it makes sense to operate the power plant, we will just feed the power into the grid. and thus get the price advantage compared to the actual price in the market at that point.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any other questions?
The next question is from Alan Arnum from New Orleans. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A little clarity on production. You stated in your comments that you expect production to double, and that goes along with your 60 million ton estimate. You never want to say when, but I want some clarity on how, and because you mentioned that if you acquired additional tailing ponds, you may have to replicate the plant that you have. So if production is going to be double, what additional capital expenditure would be required to meet that goal?
Klaus can elaborate on the answer to that question, but the reference to the doubling of production is from levels of the last 2 years, and the source of that of increase of production is from treatment of the old tailings in Colliers. And as I indicated earlier in the call, we have expended largely all of the capital required to treat the contracted amount from those old tailings as well as the fresh tailings at present. If we were to expand beyond that to the other tailings in answer to the other question, then that would require us to consider either a major expansion of the existing plant or replicating the plant for those other tailings deposits. So we shouldn't confuse the two. What we're talking about is stuff that's within our power through existing contracts on existing tailings deposits, fresh and old, and we've spent the bulk of what was required to treat both of those to the maximum.
So if I heard you, then you're saying that the expenditure has been made to be able to hit 15 million pounds a quarter of copper.
Yes, and we are still expending the last little bit of that on the extraction side, not on the processing side, but on the extraction side mainly this year. But it's a small amount.
So the capital expenditure could go flatline, except for normal maintenance, and think you could, as stated, double production. Now, take it one step, which is a very, very positive statement, one step farther. If these tailing ponds are available, what are we talking about in capital expenditure, and then what would it produce if they became available?
Oh, that is far too early to answer that question.
It was brought up in the conversation before you got on. That's why.
Yeah, I see. Okay. I mean, we haven't done a capital study on. I mean, we know what would be required, but we haven't investigated at this point what the investment in money would be for that.
As I indicated earlier, too, we're still in the early stage of negotiating and discussions with Teniente, and also we're doing some metallurgical analysis, which will allow us to begin the design of a potential plant and processing flow sheet. But the pricing of that is, as Klaus indicated, is a long way off yet.
Well, I understand, but you did bring it up, and it does sound like a, quote, a major event, if you would even get close to doing that, particularly if you've already ramped up to 15 million pounds per quarter.
Yes, it would, of course, be additional grinding equipment, additional flotation, equipment for leaching, because these tailings ponds have a higher percentage of oxide, so it would be leaching equipment and normal flotation grinding equipment. You could say, okay, so if you add that, then you should have an idea what your planned cost, which you have in existence, and then you can extrapolate what the new plant would cost. But it's not that simple. Depending on the situation, and I guess your question goes merely, perhaps goes to the question, where will you get the money from? And in order to answer that, there are many interim steps which you could do in order to further increase production and not have a huge investment. And the way to do that is you have your fresh tailings, and as you know, the fresh tailings have usually a grade of about 0.11, 0.12, and then you have the grades of the old tailings, which are between 0.25 and 0.3, and then when you would add these other tailings ponds, which are from mining areas in the 30s to the 70s, so they are even older than the one which we are working on, the grades probably are still a little bit higher. Then what you could easily do in order to increase production is you reduce the amount of fresh tailings which go through your plant, and you just add the old tailings, and just by doing that you could double or triple the production from that exchange, from that amount of exchange. So if you exchange, let's say, 40,000 tons a day for 40,000 tons of higher grade material, then of course you double or triple the production for that portion of the input, and you wouldn't need too much investment for something like that. Eventually, if you want to treat everything, then eventually you would at some point have to do the full investment.
Well, I appreciate your candor. I think it's a very interesting conversation. It's the first I've heard of it, either from what I was available to find out about. So it does have a very additional interesting upside, even at flat prices.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear it discussed.
Yeah, no, it's...
Okay, any other questions?
The next question is from Ken Hefner from Lakeland. Please go ahead.
Thank you. What was the July copper production?
On budget?
In pounds. I caught the molybdenum production, but I'm not sure if he mentioned the copper production.
3.5 million.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from David Liu from Nome. Please go ahead.
Hi, Carl. Just a question, follow-up question. We said you could potentially reduce the amount of new tailings you run through the plant in that scenario you were describing before. I mean, if you reduce it, what does that mean? I mean, you just let it go to the... go through and not be processed by the plant?
Correct.
No, well, I guess what you are saying, what would happen if this scenario for an additional tailings pond, for which we don't have,
right.
You appreciate the rights yet,
mm-hmm.
But if we would do that, yeah, in that case, the what I described, then the fresh tailings would just be going untreated.
To the lower, okay. Would that impact the, any sort of environmental requirements for the amount of moly in the tailings going out, or is that not a factor?
No. If you would not treat all of them, it could have, yes, but if you don't treat one quarter or one third, I think you are still okay.
Okay. No, I realize these are all hypothetical situations, not anything in terms. I was just interested in how that worked.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
No, there is a, you know, it's easy because there is a bypass channel to our plant.
Okay.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Thanks, Klaus, for managing.
Yeah, no, I have to excuse myself again because, sorry, telecommunications not always is perfect.
No problem. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we look forward to reporting on Q3 later on in the year.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.